like disease. Temperatures rising soon, we're gonna have a fever. We can't keep doing what we've been doing so long, but we can turn it around if we just come together. We can turn it around and show how to get it done.
It's up to you and me. I wanted to wait for those words to come through because that's what this show is all about, the power of one. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg. If you didn't join us last week, I want to wish you a happy and very green 2013. Hey, that rhymes. And we're going to have a great show today. I'm sorry to say D.R. Tucker cannot join us. And the Green News Report folks, our friends Brad and Desi, are still on holiday. Well-deserved. They work very hard over there. But we've got a great show lined up because it's all about my favorite topic. And no, that's not climate change, although you, who could blame you if you thought that was my obsession? It is. But I got into this 15 years ago talking trash. I started a green feature on the radio called Trash Talk, all about waste reduction tips, ways to reduce, reuse, recycle, and rot, that's composting, and rethink, and refurbish, all those great RE words. And that's what today's show is about. It's about not only consuming less and buying more intelligently, more thoughtfully, and doing more with less, but also about the benefits, some of the side benefits of not being such a consumptive consumer. If we can be citizens that care more about our freedom and our happiness and sort of growth and good times, and not the kind of growth that just adds stuff to your home or your car or your garage, stuff that takes a lot of hard work and money to support and a lot of maintenance as well. Well, that's what today's topic is about, and I'm really excited about bringing you the show because we're going to be talking with three individuals who have walked the talk. They are doing their part in a big way to reduce what's out there in the landfill, and most important, to bring increased consciousness to all of us, we Americans, who sometimes have to take a break from our busy, harried lives and just stop and think about what is most important to us, what do we care about, what do we value. And I'm very excited to have my first guest. She is my new hero. Her name is Jean Hill. She is 85 years young. She is a resident of Concord, Massachusetts, and I would dare to say today, this week, she is probably the most famous resident of Concord, Massachusetts. And if that... If anyone needs a reminder, that is the place that, of course, Henry David Thoreau made famous with his refusing to pay taxes while living at Walden Pond. That was about 165 years or so ago. Well, now we have Jean Hill as someone who is also someone making a difference. Mrs. Hill is the octogenarian who is responsible for spearheading a brand new law, just went into effect January 1st, just about a week ago, making Concord, Massachusetts the first city in the country to ban the sale of plastic water bottles. So very pleased to welcome to the Green Front, Mrs. Jean Hill. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Betsy. It's a pleasure.
Well, the pleasure is all mine because, as I you may have heard, I started out doing green minutes on ways to reduce, reuse, recycle, and you are a woman after my own green heart. So,
thank you.
I want to ask you, first of all, and just reading a little bit about you, I see that your activism didn't start just a few years ago, but back during World War II, you actually got involved. So I know that goes back a long way, but...
Yes, I remember. I had a summer job in a factory that had been converted to making parachutes, and there were women who had worked. I was only about 15. I lied so that I could get working papers. And so I worked in this factory that had been making dress samples but was converted to making parachutes during World War II. And I discovered that most of the women who worked there had never had a paid vacation. So I went to, this was located in Union Square in New York City. So there was a union office there, and I went there and I said, you know, there are women working in this factory who have never had a paid vacation. And, you know, and they said, get lost, kid. I was just too young. They didn't have any belief in me. So so that was my earliest venture into activism.
Mm. And then you got married, raised four children. You have at least one grandchild now.
I have six grandchildren.
six grandchildren. Well, mazel tov to you. And one very special one, I'm sure they're all special, but your grandson, I guess, is responsible for inspiring you for this latest round of activism, which has made you more successful than what every environmental group in the country has been able to achieve, because you have brought about this water bottle ban, plastic water bottle sale ban, and that is no small accomplishment. So how did your grandson inspire you to get involved with the whole effort to fight plastic pollution?
Well, my grandson's name is Mac, and he lives in Acton, Massachusetts, and I was visiting at where my son lives, and my son is Will Hill. So I was visiting my son's family, and Mac had been fooling around with the computer. And he said, you know, Grandma, there's a whole bunch of plastic trash floating around in the ocean. And it didn't get me right away. But then I went home and started doing some research on the Internet, and I was appalled. So it took me 3 years to get it passed at Concord's annual town meeting. The first time I was so naive, I didn't know how to present the desire to stop selling plastic water, drinking water in plastic bottles. I didn't know how to present it. So it was turned down by the Attorney General, of course. The second time, we had an inexperienced and very nice town moderator, but he let the meeting go on until well after 11 o'clock, and by that time all my supporters had gone home. And the third time, we finally won. And it was a highly organized campaign. And Jill Appel, another Concord resident, was my partner, and we made a good team because I had the passion and she had the political savvy. And so we finally accomplished something, I guess it's unique.
Absolutely. Are you surprised you were able to pull this off? I mean, the plastics lobby is no small, interest group.
It's the International Water Association. They did all kinds of stuff. They sent. They made phone calls to many Concord residents, asking how you like the fire department, how you like the police department, how do you like the Board of Selectmen, what do you think of the bottle ban? And they would call you all hours of the day and night. Mm-hmm. And then they also mailed out postcards to all the residents, or most of the residents in Concord, including the town clerk, Anita Teckley, saying that what was so good about bottled water. And it was a pack of lies, of course, but that's what they did. They fought it tooth and nail. And to my mind, bottled water is a total scam.
You think?
Most adamantly. In the first place, if you look on the bottle, it will often say filtered tap water. And then there's Nestle owns Poland Spring Water. And I called the town clerk in Poland, Maine, and I said, where do your residents get their water? And she said, from wells. So what happens in Poland when the aquifer gets drained? The residents will have to buy bottled water. So it's really loony.
And as you say, the bottled water companies are draining our aquifers and selling it back to us.
Yeah.
What's wrong with this picture, Jean? Besides everything. Besides everything. Well, I can't tell you how proud I am of you. And, you persisted because you said, I'm quoting here from the article, you said, I'm going to work until I drop on this. And if you believe in something, you have to persist and you have to have a thick skin. And you clearly do. And
I tell you, sometimes it gets pretty hard. But I tend to be sensitive, and my feelings get hurt when someone attacks me. But as I have gradually developed a thick skin, and that is necessary. If you're doing anything controversial, you have to have a thick skin.
I know about that. You also, in this article, it's mentioned that you held a screening of the movie Tapped, which is all about plastic pollution, and you were disappointed that not a lot of people showed up. And I can totally relate to that, having started a grassroots campaign back in 2002 called Don't Be Fueled, trying to get mothers to demand more, you know, hybrid, clean family vehicles. And we'd have, you know, meetings, and we'd have great speakers, and we'd have refreshments. And, you know, we'd get like three moms who would show up, and they tended to be the ones who are already kind of environmentally minded. And
I know,
it's like,
preaching to the choir.
Yeah. Why does it take so much? Why is it so difficult to get, you know, parents of all people who should be most concerned about these issues to really tune into their environment?
I don't know why.
It's still the case. But God bless you, a mother and a grandmother who is just, you know, inspiring us, so many of us.
That really pleases me, Betsy, to hear that, because it was a lot of hard work, and I have been attacked by people, and for example, there were some very nasty letters written to the in the Boston Herald, you know, saying I'm going to take a bunch of bottles and deposit. Leave them on her doorstep, you know, stuff like that. So, and it hurts, but you have to develop a thick skin when you're doing anything controversial.
Absolutely, and I love what you said when people express concern. Well, what if we have an emergency and we have to, you know, boil water? We'll need bottled water. And you said,
no, that's ridiculous. If there is a biological contamination, all you have to do is boil your water for about 20 minutes. And if there's a chemical contamination, I believe that the fire department or the policeman department would hand out bottled water.
Absolutely. And, you know, worst comes to worst, there are nearby towns, I'm sure, that do sell it. And so what's the practicality? Have you gone around to look in stores and make sure that nobody is selling? Is it just stores or vending machines, or how widespread
well,
is it?
Well, let me tell you about many Concord residents, including me, shop at Crosby's Marketplace, which is on Sudbury Road. And the manager is John Cummings, and he's a very nice man. And they have installed in front of their store a hydration station, where people can come and fill up their reusable bottles. And I expect there's a small charge for that, but I'm not certain. Mm-hmm. But so he is happily complying. We're getting flack from the Chamber of Commerce, and because of course they don't want anyone interfering with they're not in favor of that ban.
Hmm. Well, in addition to your courage, I love your sense of humor. You say, you know, people are panicked. They've got to get their 8 glasses of water in a day, and that's why everyone's clutching their, you know, bottles of water, you know, plastic water bottles. And you said, oh, my gosh, that's too much. If you drink that much, you have to spend the whole day in the bathroom. And you say you yourself don't get enough water. What are your beverages of choice, Jean?
Well, I have a Keurig coffee maker, and maybe I shouldn't mention the name of it. But anyhow, I have a cup of coffee every morning, and I have orange juice with my toasted English muffin, and so that's one fluid. And then at lunch, I usually have cider. And then at dinner, before dinner, I have a good hearty drink of Johnny Walker Scotch.
And that's what's made you so healthy and feisty at 85 years young. I love it.
Right.
And, you know, and you somehow drank tap water most of your life. I bet you didn't have too many.
Oh, I have. I think bottled water is a total scam. It's ridiculous. Concord has Concord's municipal tap water is tested frequently, and it only costs less than a cent a glass to the Concord taxpayers. And it's very safe, and it's very potable.
So do you think you're going to be seeing a run on thermos bottles or, you know, the reusable water, you know, bottles that we're seeing more of?
Well, yes, they're being sold already at Crosby's Market.
Because of you.
And in addition, there's a group in opposition called Citizens for Consumer Choice, and they're opposed to me. And they're going to, they have already gotten an article, a bylaw on the Concord Town Warrant for next year to rescind the bottle ban. So you know, it's going to be a rite of spring. Every spring I'll have to go show up at town meeting. And next year I'll be 86, so I hope I'm around. I think I will be around. I'm too
mean. You will be
to
around.
Die.
We need you for many more years, and someday there will be people who will be, you know, talking about what you did, and hopefully Concord is just the first city in America, but not the last, to do this.
That's
just
right.
Like we in San Francisco started banning, you know, plastic bags, you know, at the grocery store. I really think you've started something here.
Well, yeah, I don't know if I started that, but the, next year I'm going to go after the plastic grocery bags because they really are destructive to the climate because fish and water mammals swallow them and drown.
Yeah.
And also they never fully disintegrate. They just sink to the bottom of the ocean floor in little pellets. And there's a fish called the lanternfish that eats that plastic, mistaking it for food, and then it gets into the food chain. So, you know, all this plastic stuff is dangerous and destructive to the environment, and it's totally unnecessary.
And what about the big box stores, Jean, like Costco? Are they anywhere near Concord, and are they allowed to sell?
No, they're not. The only stores in Concord are Crosby's Market, Ace, Rocky's Ace Hardware, Deborah's Gourmet, and Deborah knows so much about nutrition she wouldn't touch bottled water with a 10-foot pole. and let's see. And then there's the CVS drugstore sells bottled water, or did, and then Rite Aid as well. They
no more because of the ban.
Yeah, they won't be able to sell it.
Maybe you should go after the big box stores next.
Well, boy, that, I think I'll leave that to someone else.
See, that for the big boys, the big box stores.
I think next year what I'll do, I'm going to have to fight off this opposition to the this group that wants to rescind the bottle ban. So that's going to keep me busy. And also I want to go after plastic grocery bags if I can.
Well, God bless you, and I hope you're getting help now that people are aware of you from places like, well, in California we have Californians Against Waste and, you know, all the other environmental organizations that, you know, fight pollution really should be joining your efforts if they haven't and supporting you, because sometimes it does take one person with, you know, an unwavering commitment and a loud voice.
Well, I am committed.
You are committed, and sometimes I joke that, you know, people say, boy, Betsy, you're very committed. I said, I know I may end up committed if I don't breaking through with more successes here, because it's not easy being green in this black and white world of ours, is it?
Yes. Now, before we close, Betsy, would you give me the name of your program and some way that I can hear it or watch
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. I'm happy to tell everybody who might not know, because lots of people listen after the fact. We are broadcast live on the Progressive Radio Network, which is on the air now.
Slow down. Progressive.
I'll follow. How about if I follow up with you after we get off the air? I'll let you know. But it's the Progressive Radio Network, which is on the Internet, and then my archives are at thegreenfront.com. But I will follow up with you, Jean, personally, because I want to thank you again for all your great work. I really, really, really can't tell you how much you inspire me, and I'm sure others, with your passion, your conviction, and your grandson should be very proud to have one green grandma.
Well, thank you so much, Betsy.
Have a happy, healthy new year.
It was a pleasure to talk with you.
Thanks so much. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We're going to continue on our Watch Your Waistline theme today. We're going to be talking with Anna Fahey, who's brought her family's waistline way down, and then we'll be meeting the minimalists, or at least one half of the minimalists team, find out how two guys in their 20s who had it all gave it up and are happier than ever. We'll be right back.